Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shaheed and Karan Shakir. I am Karan Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. This is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned in to a program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's, don'ts, and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, I present to you my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Karan Shakir, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience on IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. And I'm Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Karan Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And we're happy to say that this is going on almost 8 years. It began with the sister station, AM 360, all the way back October the 13th in the year 2015. And we want you to know that Karan and I would like to welcome all of you that tune in tonight for this edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want you to know that this is your learning lab, and especially those who are tuning in for the first time. We want to encourage you to ask questions, to make comments on the information and education that you receive each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we also like to invite those of you who may not say very much or haven't said very much. If what you hear tonight is resonating with you, Karan, and I would love to hear from you. As she's already said, we are much aware of the fact that many of you tune in to IWDM Radio and this particular production, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, by listening by way of the Internet. Colonel Ann and I, we would love to hear from you also. And for you to do that, she's already given you the number. We want to say to you, all you have to do is bring an open mind, open heart. And the only tools that you need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because we believe that there will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight and that you want to take note on and maybe want to ask questions or even expound upon what it is that you hear on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So once again, if you missed that number, this is an opportunity for you to take it down. This is an opportunity for you to invite family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members, that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is live and in session here on IWDM Radio. So once again, that call-in number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. We also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab has a foundation, and that foundation consists of three sources that we use for dissemination of information and also education. The first being Al-Quran, that is the final revelation that has been given by Almighty God to his human creation. And the second source that we use is the life example, the demonstration in living the Quran in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the prayers and peace be upon him, actually lived the Quran as an example, not only for his time, but for times to come. And the third source that we use is a tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad, in giving us clear explanation in regards to the Quran and also the life example of the Prophet. These are the three sources that form the foundation for dissemination of information and also education here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as well as the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So as Quran has already said, the objective is to teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, but also what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage relationship in accordance with God's word, will, and way. And we want to say that, I don't know how long, Quran, we've been on the True Love Recipe, but I'm taking it that it's been at least a month and a half, maybe a little longer. I lost track in terms of time. But we've had some outstanding couples that we have been presenting each and every week. And in the first hour, want you to know that for those who are naysayers that think negative when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, we have found and located those persons that are inside this community that have successful marriages, happy marriages, healthy marriages, and Grant and I, we tried to bring them forth to bring to you to give them the opportunity to tell their narrative, their story, and how they met and what it is that they do, so that this becomes an inspiration and motivation for you. At the same time, we are having this dialogue in terms of the True Love Recipe. The True Love Recipe is a personal recipe that I have and been working on for years, and inshallah that it will appear in a book. I'm pretty close to getting somebody that can actually help and assist me in terms of putting in book form. So we want to say that tonight we'll be dealing with E4, just in case that you forgot. E4 means effort, means excellence, means evolving, and enthusiasm. And so I want you to think about if that would be in your true love recipe. And we're going to get some insight, inshallah, from our special guest facilitators tonight. And for that introduction, I'm going to give it back to Quran Shakir. She will be giving an overview of what took place last week, and she always does an excellent job. Thank you, and it's good to hear your voice once again, Quran. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's always good to hear your voice as well. And I don't know if you got my message, Brother Mark, but our guest won't be with us this evening, so it's you and I.
Oh, okay. That might have been a late message. Well, good, and well, not good, but good in this sense, because if next week I wanted to have you and I to actually do an overview on what it is that we've covered thus far, and this will be an excellent opportunity to really engage our audience in regards to what we've covered, and those who may be listening for the first time, Quran and I will do somewhat of an overview of what we've covered in terms of A, B, C, D, and then E is what I just named tonight. So, Quran, how about our listening audience being our special guest tonight in terms of part of the dialogue? How about that?
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. So let me give the overview, and then we can get right into engaging our audience in this dialogue, inshallah. So last week, dear listeners, was a wonderful week because, you know, over the last few weeks, a month or so now, we have had beautiful couples on. And last week, we had the joy of having a younger couple on who they've been married 14 years, but they're just in their 30s, right at 31. So very, very young, and they got married while they were still in high school. And as we're looking at the true love recipe, this is an interesting approach that we thought is important for us to look at. So they talked about the fact that they met as 10th grade students. They were both 13 and 14 years old, students at W.D. Muhammad High School in Atlanta, Georgia. They were away from their family, and they said being away from their family allowed them to bond with each other. So they were classmates when they went to W.D. Muhammad High School. And Zahra, who is the wife, Sharif is the husband, Zahra said she was clear that she wasn't interested in anything but marriage. And this is, we're talking about early teens now, 13 and 14 years old. She wasn't interested in anything but marriage. She said, he showed me that he was husband material. And Sharif said he was the one who approached Zahra because when he saw her, he saw wife material. So both of them were raised in a nuclear home with a two-parent household. So both of their parents were in the house, raised with them, both of them. So that's interesting that they come from that background. And that was one of the things that Zahra said she thought was important, that couples, when they are coming together, they look at each other's background and try to find someone with a similar background so that you all can share experiences together in the relationship, which I thought that was an interesting point to make. They, both of them shared that being young in their marriage, they were very grateful for the support of their parents and the couple that they were boarding with, because they were boarding students at W.D. Muhammad High School, so they were away from their family. And the boarding family was also supportive of them, along with their parents. They said the young marriages crucially need the support of the adults in their lives, and that crucial support should come from the parents and the community. So I thought that was interesting also for us to look at the value of the community being invested in the marriages that are in our community. And this was a young marriage. So while they're stating that for their young marriage, I think it's true for all of our marriages. We should have a community concern for those who get married. The couple said that they got their inspiration from the example that their parents set since they came from a two-parent household, and that they were ready to replicate what they saw in their parents' relationship, and that they saw training that was more nonverbal than verbal. So it was a message that was being delivered just from the actions that their parents were showing them inside of their relationship. And they made the point that what you see is what you replicate. And so they were saying their parents supported them financially as well. So for our young marriages, we can look at that. We know the couple may be gaining their balance. So during that gaining of the balance, then the family support them financially as well as emotionally and spiritually, because Sharif talked about how he reached out to Zara's father when he found struggle in the marriage, and the support that the father gave to him to encourage him to keep forging ahead, weather the storm, is what he told him. Zara said she thought that it was great that the school set a school policy for marriage, and within that policy for marriage, there was a requirement to write out the goals of the relationship. And in doing that, she said initially as a teenager having to do that because they got married in the 12th grade. So they were courting for 2.5 years. And so in the 12th grade, they got married and had to write out these goals. And she said at that time she did not value writing those goals. In fact, she was a little bitter that she had to write the goals. But she says in retrospect, that was one of the best things that could have happened for her, was to write out those goals, because it helped to guide the relationship and helped to, them to begin a navigation process that was beneficial to them. And she says that we don't realize how things are ingrained in our culture, and so we have to really look at what is it that we're looking at when we're looking at marriage itself, because there were those who were saying no to their relationship because they were so young. And that is a part of society that we may find ourselves saying, oh, they're too young to get married. And they were saying that should not be a part of what we do, and that's ingrained in our society. So look more at how can we make marriage successful no matter how young they are, as long as they are learning how to maturely manage marriage. And that was a part of what happened for them. There were adults, they said, shaming the idea of getting married young when there were teens who were pregnant and not married amongst them in their family. And so they were saying, as a society, we have to start really, for lack of a better word, glorifying or really making marriage more beautiful than the other things that society may make more palatable. And so one of the things that I noted is that this young couple could be considered pioneers in what they were doing, because they're trying to do a new culture based on Quran and live a life as husband and wife based on Quran at such a young age. And, you know, that's really going back to olden days, because when you think about some of the grandparents and great-grandparents that we have, they got married at 13 and 14, although this couple was 17 and 18 when they got married. But still, that whole idea of young and getting married is an old idea. But alhamdulillah, they're bringing it back as a young couple, and they're doing it with the Quran as the base of what they were doing. So finally, we looked at dedication, duty, and decisiveness as a part of the true love recipe. And some of the things that they shared about dedication in a relationship is that dedication is a form of commitment to the relationship and to Allah first, and that dedication manifests in manifold manners in the relationship, and it makes the marriage more beautiful. We talked about the fact that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the best decisions are those that are firmly resolved. And so you have to be intentional about showing the reality of marriage to children. I thought that was a great point to make. This is a duty. And so parents have to empower children with what they need to be prepared for marriage, and that talking about what is needed in marriage will save a lot of marriages. And there is a lot that we may be uncomfortable doing, and therein lies the duty. I thought that was a great point that they made. And for decisiveness, most importantly, the importance of flexibility was emphasized. So flexibility is most important. Be decisive in your profession of love for Allah, and then set priorities and respond to those as you make decisions inside of the relationship. And there was so much more that they talked about. So to my listening audience, I say to you, inshallah, go back to the archives and look for this particular program, True Love Recipe, featuring Sharif and Zahra Abdul Malik. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and for those that might sound strange to hear, that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I want to commend you once again, Quran Shakir, for doing an excellent job and giving a very substantive overview or some of the highlights that took place. And I just want to just say I was so elated to have Sharif and Zahra on. One of the things that really stood out for me, being very, very young and being decisive in terms of what they wanted to do, being added also by the Quran, this is so very important, and the maturity, the maturation there. If as parents, we can say that we have all our children, or if we're grandparents and all our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, family, community members, actually would have that as foundational. As foundational, we haven't got to F, but foundational is one of those qualities and characteristics that's in the True Love Recipe, we're inviting you, our radio listening audience, to be participants, because Quran and I are inviting you. And whenever you actually hit upon one of the qualities or characteristics that is in the True Love Recipe, you'll hear this.
Oh, we got that bell. Okay. I finally
got the bell. We got the bill, and it was on sale. I'm not a poet, and I know it. But you understand, we want to keep the bell ringing tonight on the True Love Recipe. So this is an excellent opportunity that Quran and I can take for expounding on what it is that we have covered in the True Love Recipe. So hopefully you all got good notes and on, and we'll remind you of these letters and these qualities and characteristics. So some of you may be listening for the first time. This is my personal True Love Recipe. It's a recipe, and which meaning that you can add, there could be addendums that you would have in your True Love Recipe, as we utilize the English alphabet, and I don't use any Islamic terminology in the True Love Recipe, but it is Islamically based. I'm hoping that you understand that. And my thinking was that with Imam Muhammad as my teacher, he said to us once, he said, if you have something worth saying, put it in a universal language. If you have something that's, put it in a universal language, which meaning that you can take it anywhere. You know, won't have to explain a lot of terminology per se. The people will understand it. You want to keep it simple, but it can be profound at the same time and thought-provoking. And this was a way that Allah inspired me, perhaps to help those who have their own definition, or maybe they have Western society definition of what love is. And oftentimes it's limited. Oftentimes, you know, Quran is a misconception, it's a misperception, it's a misnomer. And sometimes the word is just used so very loosely, and we don't even realize there's so many components to love. And actually, it's an action. It's an action word. I'm not saying that we should not say it. because last night on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, there was a guest that was on, you know, that said that just in recent times that they as a family began to start saying, I love you, and actually hugging each other. You know, I don't know. This is something for us to think about when we start talking about what true love really is. So it's good to say it, but it's even better to show it. And this is what the true love recipe is all about. And I call these ingredients qualities and characteristics that are natural. They're organic. There's no artificial colors or, you know, no artificial preservatives. All the preservatives are natural preservatives that are designed to sustain and maintain true love in your relationship. So the question will be asked tonight as Karan and I give some insight in terms of an overview of these qualities and characteristics. Would this be in your true love recipe? If you had to do a true love recipe, I'm giving those qualities and characteristics that's in my true love recipe. They don't necessarily have to be in yours, but we want to give you opportunity to say why it wouldn't be. And if it would be, then we want your participation in terms of say yes. That quality, that characteristic definitely would be in my true love recipe. And this is why we're doing it from A to Z, because we want to cover it and think about all the qualities and characteristics that sometimes is overlooked or looked over when we start talking about what true love, and I purposely put true love, not just love, you know, because there's a multiplicity of meaning. And Karan Shakir, in the very beginning, in the intro, she went to the Quran and used the Quran as the basic and the fundamental in terms of actually giving the definition in terms of true love that comes from our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is perfect and don't make errors and mistakes and is above any shortcomings. So you'll find that many of these qualities and characteristics that they're Islamically based. They're Islamically based. And so we want you to participate, and all you have to do is press 1, and periodically we'll check in with you. And if you decide you hear something that really resonates with you, resonate, touch your soul, touch your heart or your mind, we ask you to press 1. So, Karan, you know, let's start back at A, and we know that that's triple A, being first attentive, appreciative, and affectionate. You know, Karan, when I was putting this together, you know, I was thinking about the Karan, the Surah 94 of the Karan. It's the last ayat, I believe it's ayat 8. It's a very short surah where Allah says, and give all of your attention, give all of your attention to Allah. Okay, so where will we get the attention? You're an educator, and how many times have you said to the class, I need your undivided attention. I need your undivided attention. I don't want your attention to be elsewhere because I'm getting ready to say something to you. And most of the time, I've been in classrooms, and there's times where I'm an uncertified teacher. I call myself an uncertified teacher. I want the audience to be listening to what it is I have to say. And most of the time, when you begin speaking, you want to say something that is of interest, or if you're doing a workshop, you want to give some instructions. And teachers oftentimes, when they're given assignments, they don't want the assignment to be missed, so they need the attention. And so Allah is giving ayat, instructing sign to give your full attention to Allah. And we know that Allah communicates to and with us through the revelation, the final revelation, which is the Quran. That's one of the means of teaching, but also through the natural creation. So give your full attention to Allah. And this is important in terms of being a part of the true love recipe, because when you get and give your full attention to Allah, the guidance comes to you, and then in terms of being a part of true love, then the needed and necessary attention that it is that we are to give to each other in true love, it would manifest itself too, because Allah would have inspired it in his revelation in revealing to you and I how that relationship should take shape and form. So, Quran, you know, I'm going to ask you this. I think I know the answer already. And I'm going to ask the radio listening audience, is Quran, make our comments. We want you to press 1, and we want you just to say, if in fact, if you don't want to say any more than just the fact that this would be a part of your true love recipe, that's fine. If you want to say more, we would love to hear more from you, but we want you to be engaged tonight. You are our special guest, and you'll be our special guest facilitator. So, Quran, when you think about being attentive, would that be a quality or characteristic you would say that's needed and is necessary in your true love recipe? And if not, how would that look? Nobody's attentive anymore. But they say they love you. Could it really be true?
Absolutely. You would need to see the attention. So when I say absolutely, I'm saying absolutely we need to see what we're speaking about. And so it's not just something you say, you know, say what you mean and mean what you say, and I know it because I can see it happening. So attention is something you would definitely give in a relationship, in a successful relationship. And that attention may look different. That's the thing I want us to also talk about. Attention may look different in different relationships. So that attention is what's needed. What kind of focus is needed from that person? You know, we have over time talked about the 5 love languages and understanding your love language. So when you understand what that need is of that person, you can give them the attention that they need. For some, it may be quality time. And that quality time means you're putting down the things that you may have that may distract you, focusing your attention on them, hearing them when they speak. For others, it may be showing up with a gift for them. That's attention to them. That's showing them that you are dedicating your time and your energy to them. And so when you look at what do we need in our relationships, I would say definitely attention is one of those things. I love the ayah that you have given where Allah says show your full attention to him. And he says that after he has said, have we not expanded for you your breast and the esteem in which you are held. So here we are talking about showing attention to Allah. He says, then when you're free from your immediate task, then he says, give your attention back to him. So we have been given the grace to show attention to other things, but we also must show attention to Allah. So I love the way that Allah does that in that particular story. Mm-hmm. And so attention then is giving your regard. It is giving someone what you feel about them, but your energy is directed towards them.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent, excellent. You really nailed it there. Now I want to go to our special guest. Our special guest, that's you. Those of you who are listening tonight, you are our special guest. I'm going to ask you, is attentiveness, would that be a part of your true love recipe? If it would be a part of your true love recipe, this is how we're going to do it. All I need you to do now is just press 1. I mean, you're in the learning lab. Just press 1. Would it be a part of your true love recipe, or you don't think it's important, then you don't need to press 1. But if you think that it's important and significant and it should be a part of the true love recipe, okay, and Karan gave some excellent information. Okay, so we want to hold it to 10, and I'm at 5 now. And I'm at 10. Now, if you like to just give something just basic or generic, if you choose to do that, or if you choose to say specifically why, you can do that too, or just something generic, that would be fine. Or what has been said about being attentive has resonated with you, stay in the queue. You don't press 1 and go out. Stay in the queue, and we'll come to you so that you will have opportunity to say why that would be in your true love recipe. Karan, do we have any participants?
Nobody who kept their hand up to give a response.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nobody. Okay. Oh, good. Okay. That's fine. Maybe they're just absorbing, but we expect at some point in time that they will come in and say something in regards to these qualities and characteristics. So, Karan, let's move forward in triple A. Now we have, after attentiveness, we have appreciation, being appreciative. This quality and characteristic, I think, is so very, very important because I related this to the Quran also, and oftentimes we don't really realize that we're really saying it. Imam Muhammad was teaching us in terms of Al-Fatiha and its significance in being the essence of the whole book. And we know what essence is. I mean, it actually contains the entirety of the Quran. Now, I know that's something that some of you never heard before, but once you really, really, really learn it, then you'll be able to relate everything that is said in the other 113 surahs of the Quran back to Al-Fatiha, because it is, in fact, the mother of the book. Allah says that Alhamdulillah, and we say that probably as much as anybody in terms of most of the time is translated, is that all the praise is due to Allah. But Imam Muhammad added one other thing there that's very important. He said all the praise and all the thanks belongs to Allah. So this is showing thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation. And so in terms of having true love, we didn't get as extensive if we wanted to because we had special guest facilitators, and I wanted to relinquish that time to them primarily so that they could give it from their perspective. But it's very, very important. It was very important to me when looking at triple A, having that as a quality in terms of gratefulness and thankfulness, an appreciation for what it is that Allah has actually blessed us with. And so in true love, when we talk about true love, nobody wants to feel unappreciated. Everybody wants to feel appreciated because they want to feel valued. And Allah has given value to all of us. And so when we look at in terms of the sacred institution of marriage and finding the right one, the right soulmate that becomes our helpmate, our teammate, our workmate, our lovemate, there will be value in both, in recognizing that in terms of having that quality or characteristic, that ingredient of appreciation. So we first and foremost, we always say, Alhamdulillah, But the praise and the thanks, the appreciation goes to Allah first and foremost, and then that should be transferred in terms of the relationship that we have, the appreciation that it is that we have to show in the sacred institution of marriage. In true love, appreciation is always, I think, and should be at the forefront in the relationship. Quran, would that be a part of your true love recipe? And if not so, how would that look? If you say that you love somebody and it was supposed to be true love, but there was no appreciation, they were not really valued, there was no thankfulness, first and foremost, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, that has given this to us, but not recognized in true love. Quran?
Appreciation is, to me, another word for love. Because Allah tells us in the Quran 14:7, if you are grateful, I will give you more. And if we want this love in our relationship, we want more love, we want this gift that Allah has for us, it is the appreciation that brings that to us. And then when Allah asks us, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? That's appreciation, showing gratitude for what we have. So when you love someone, then you appreciate them. You show them your appreciation. And again, it can be shown in a number of ways. So most definitely. And I think if appreciation is not in a relationship, in a marriage, then what you will probably see is resentment, a lot of hurt, because people will start pulling away, thinking, I'm doing this for nothing. They don't really value me or value what I contribute to the relationship. And so you may see your mate pulling away because they don't feel the appreciation.
Alhamdulillah. That's excellent, excellent. Once again, excellent commentary on that. And want to go to our radio listening audience. Please be accommodating here. Those of you who are listening in, and those of you listening in by way of the internet, Quran and I would love to hear from you. You can participate. You do have to dial 714-816-4673, because each one would be a little mini survey just to see if these qualities and characteristics that I'm referring to as natural ingredients, organic ingredients, natural preservatives to sustain and maintain true love. Okay, so this is what we're talking about tonight on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, when we're doing an overview of some of the qualities and characteristics that we've covered, but a little bit more in-depth tonight, and they're asking for any questions and comments. So radio listening audience, our special guests, we want you to speak to us in some kind of shape, form, or fashion tonight, please, if you would. Would that be a key ingredient in your true love recipe? If you were writing up your own true love recipe, would appreciation be one of those qualities and characteristics that would be an ingredient in there? If so, I'm going to just ask you to press 1. Press 1 and go hold it for 10 seconds. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10. So can somebody stay in the queue? I'm going to ask this time, if somebody stay in the queue and don't press 1 and go out. But if you could say that it would be in your true love recipe, that would be fine. And if you would want to say why it would be in your true love recipe, that would even be better. And if you would want to say that what you heard Quran and I say in terms of this being part of the true love recipe, and this is my personal recipe, and Quran has agreed so far that it would be a part of her recipe, then stay in the queue. So, Grant, do we have anybody that want to share with us?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep on moving here. So in AAA, you know, after attentiveness, appreciation, then we have affection. And, you know, Quran, this also is in the Quran because, as you were saying, in terms of appreciation, that it would be a synonym for Quran. That's how she expressed it. And there's not a right or wrong here, you know, see, because this could be your recipe. This is really a word that is really interchangeable with love itself. And oftentimes in the Quran, translators will use different words in terms of English expression. And so we reference the Quran again in Surah Harun, which is the 30th chapter of the Quran, the 21st verse. You hear Quran and myself utilize this ayat frequently in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and I've used it for many, many years in terms of workshops, seminars, lectures, presentations that I made. And Allah says, He says, and among His signs is this, that I have made for you from among you mates of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. Well, this is very, very important. And then Allah says, and I will put the love or the affection and the mercy between your hearts. Verily in that are signs for those who reflect. So this affection, this love, this affection in true love, see, because Allah is saying, I will do that. I will do that. For those two, you understand, that have made the right selection in terms of their soulmate, which you'll see will be your helpmate. And you know, often we know, the believers know, that the destiny that we all want to have is Jannah, a paradise. So your soulmate will be your helpmate. And we know that nobody can enter Jannah, the paradise, that paradisical, or as our Christian brothers and sisters would say, heavenly state, without working. Without working. Or as the biblical scripture said, help meet. To help you meet your obligations and responsibilities in all. And we want to say responsibility. that is one, when we get to R, just want to ring the bell since nobody else have, you know, made commentary on these qualities and characteristics for our radio listening audience, but it also becomes your helpmate and your teammate, meaning that you're working together as a team, not in opposition, but together with each other, and also that becomes your love mate, because then you will love that mate for being those other mates, soul mate, help mate, teammate, workmate, and it just stands to reason that you have the right love mate and all. So, Quran, once again, we got in AAA affection, and it just seems to be so appropriate. I mean, at least for me and my true love recipe, I'd be like, I couldn't even begin to talk about true love without having affection in there. It's like leaving out what they call that baking powder. You're going to bake a cake. It ain't going to rise. So, Graham, would that be in your true love recipe, affection? And if not, how would that look?
Correct. Yes, you have to have affection. And affection, I love the ayat that you selected from Surah 30, ayat 21, where Allah says that He places that affection and that mercy in you as a sign for you, too. And it's something that we look for as a gift from Allah. He also says in 1996 that indeed those who have believed and done righteous deeds, the Most Merciful will appoint for them affection. So affection is something, another gift from Allah, and we should see it as that. And then we should be generous with giving affection inside of our relationship. And again, affection may look different in these relationships. And that's the beauty of putting together these puzzle pieces, so to speak, in our relationships, is that we get to really design it to fit us. So, you know, for some, affection could be when you walk down the street, you got to hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
For someone else, the affection could be just sit with me when I'm reading or praying or watching TV or something. Just be there with me. That's affection. And so it looks differently. And before, when we talked about affection, we talked about Zayd, the Sahaba of the Prophet, who said that when a husband and wife look at each other lovingly, Allah will look at them with his merciful eye. And when they hold hands, their sins will fall from between their fingers. Those are all affectionate ways to love each other. So that affection then can be just how you look at each other, as well as the touching and the show of affection physically, what you do with each other. So I think affection is the most important ingredient in a marriage relationship, and probably something in a relationship that makes it uniquely for the married couple as well, that show of affection, because it's not the same show of affection that you would show towards your children or your parents or the people in the community. It's different for that couple in a married relationship, and that's one of the things that really makes marriage uniquely different from other relationships.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and you really nailed it, the Quran, you know, and I'm so glad that you extended that, you know, in terms of family life, in terms of our children, extended family life, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our sisters, our brothers, all of that is in play when we look at having affection in the true love recipe. And I want to just say to our radio listening audience that we should have affection for our Lord and Creator once again. Very, very important that we should have affection. We should love. We should have the affection for what it is that Allah has given to us in the natural creation and what Allah has given to us in his final revelation. There should be an affection for that. And it should be realized in our life. You know, Quran, one of the things, you, as you well know, that we established many years ago here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that all relationships have to have a solid foundation. And that solid foundation starts with our relationship with our Lord and Creator. And that relationship is not like any other relationship where we have husband-wife relationship, we have parent-child relationship, we have sister-brother relationship in terms of sibling relationship. We have other family relationships where we might be aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, cousins. We have neighbor relationships. Mm-hmm. We have business relationship. We have community relationship, just the relationship of humanity at large, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in that regard. But the relationship that we have with our Lord and Creator is a very, very important relationship, and it formed, and it is to be the foundation for how we conduct our relationships in terms of the sacred institution of marriage, where there should be true love, and that is relationship of servant to master, What is the best relationship to servant to master? Is an obedient servant to the master. And so we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, the glory goes to Allah who is perfect, above any mistakes, above any errors, any shortcomings. So we are the servant, and we want to be obedient servants. And so when we ingest, take in the Quran, digest the Quran, understand it, and then practically apply it in our personal life, in our marriage life, then we're going to see the peace, the order, the beauty that it is that we want to see in really true love. You know, this is very important. I know some of you might say, Mark Shaheed, you and Quran Shakir, everything you're saying, you go back to the Quran. Yes, because that is the foundation. In our relationship with our Lord and Creator, that is the foundation. Don't have a good relationship with your Lord and Creator because you haven't given your full attention and been attentive, then it's going to affect how you love. I can say that again. If you don't give your full attention as Allah has put in as an instructing ayah, then we won't get the guidance in terms of how to love. The parameters are there in the Quran, but they have to be adhered to. This is very important that what we're saying here, so I'm hoping that you're taking good notes from Quran and myself in that regard, and hopefully you asked a question or maybe you want to make a comment on that, or maybe at some point that somebody would press one and just say, well, this is resonating with me, something I never heard before, and it's something that is beneficial to you in that regard. So I want to say to our radio listeners, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and you are a special guest. If you just came in and walked in the house, so to speak, you are a special guest. And we'd like for you to be a participant in the dialogue that we're having in doing an overview of some of the things that we covered in the past month or so on the true love recipe. This is my personal true love recipe. It don't have to be yours. But if some of these qualities and characteristics that I'm saying that are natural, it should be natural ingredients that comprise of true love. I know you're not going to hear this anywhere else. And please, you know, if you go to the dictionary, you might come out confused as to what love really is. But I think that if you take into account that all these qualities and characteristics could be part of the recipe, not of just love, but of true love, and then I want you to think about it, if this could be, if you had to have a recipe, a true love recipe, would it be in yours? Or if not, you know why. And how would your true love actually look? So I'm going to ask again if in fact that anybody that would like to make a comment or so on this, please press one. If what you're hearing, is it resonating with you? Quran and I would like to hear from you. You don't have to say any more than just that if that's what you choose to do. Press one if you would, and Quran will open your mic. We'd like to hear from you. This is no more than giving us the greetings. Quran, any takers?
They're not ready yet.
Oh, they're not?
Yeah, they're here. But they're not ready
to respond.
They just want to hear it.
I just want to hear it. Okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise and thanks belongs to the guardian evolver of all the systems of knowledge. So, Karen, let's go ahead and move on to, I think it's B3 or B4 here. The basic things, I think that was the first one that we had. In terms of basic things, Quran is not the real big things that sometimes people, you know, and I heard you say earlier, you were making reference to Dr. Gary Chapman's book. And by the way, you know, Karana, we'll be making, you know, referring some must-read books, and I think Karana agreed that is a must-read. We talk about the five universal love languages. And since we're talking about love, but we're talking about true love, and I concur with those five universal love languages, you know, in terms of acts of service is one of them, acts of service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Quran, it don't have to be big things. It could be just basic things, but also also thoughtful things.
Mm-hmm.
Give a little ring for being a tea thoughtful. We haven't got there. but basic things in terms of maybe in terms of the role of the man, that generally he's not the one to prepare breakfast, but maybe because of his schedule, the time he goes to work and the time if his wife works or what, both of them are rushing out of the house and don't have time to even spend time to have breakfast together, or he's the recipient of breakfast. But maybe on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, you know, he goes to the market, and he knows that she loves fruit and maybe tea. And he purchases, you know, watermelon, some cantaloupe, some honeydew, and maybe pineapple. And he takes the time to cut it up and make a nice melon, fruit melody, and her favorite tea. And he brings it, he serves it to her. He's not really good at cooking, but he knows how to cut up fruit. And he was very, very thoughtful. Something very, very basic there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she does something very, very basic for him because she has a construction worker. And she knows that oftentimes he's aching and complaining about that. And she gives him a nice back massage or what in that regard. Not expensive, but just very, very thoughtful. Just giving a couple of examples of something basic, but very thoughtful. Karan, would that be a part of your true love recipe? And just basic things, it don't necessarily have to be big things that would be elaborate and extravagant or very expensive, but just basic things that's based in terms of being thoughtful, basic things. Would that be in your true love recipe, correct?
Yes, indeed. And when we talk about basic, I love that it doesn't have to be anything big, because it could be something as simple as a text in the middle of the day thinking about you. Imagine the impact of that, to know that someone is thinking about you and that someone is the one you have declared your commitment to in the relationship, your love for them in this relationship. So, yes, just basic little things to be thoughtful, to be considerate, to look out for them and their needs. And, you know, I'm thinking about you. Or you can do the cutting of the fruit. Or you can do something as simple as being available for them, trying to do things that doesn't cost anything, just to be there, compliment them. That's basic.
Mm-hmm.
A compliment is basic. To be to just show that loved one, your mate, your wife, your husband, that you really love them, and I can do this very simple thing or this big thing. And, you know, one of the things like remembering their birthday or remembering an anniversary, that's basic.
There you go.
But also, you know, we had one of our couples on who said they celebrate their anniversary every month.
Yeah, that's Hadja Karima and Imam Khalil Sultan.
Yes. That's basic to do something like that, because they said they don't have to buy a gift for one another every month, but they celebrate every month in some kind of way. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And those little things add up. And we have one of our listeners who have raised their hand because they like the basic things.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear from them, Karan. Let's see what they have to say about that. Did resonate. Good.
Yes. So 816-813, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open and you are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Najma, and I'm in New York at the time. How is
everyone?
Hey, I was on the call early, but I had to get off and take another call. And you were talking about the three A's, and I heard attentive and appreciative. What was the third one? Because I didn't hear that.
Affectionate. Mm-hmm.
Affectionate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as attentive, I think that, like you all are talking here recently about the just paying attention to each other. And one thing I think is very important when you hear your spouse talking, don't be so distracted. Like your cell phones are causing a lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm.
The TV is on, turn it off. Pay attention to the person that you're with, to the extent that even when you're not saying anything, you know that person is on your mind. I think little small things like that are very important. When you're out, show the person that you're thinking about them periodically. You know, I know some couples, they get upset, they turn their phone off. Don't do that, because you never know if there's going to be an emergency. You need to meet that person. Those things, and appreciative, oh, my goodness. That's huge. Being feeling appreciated, that is so huge. You know, cause you don't want to just do things for a person, and just in that energy, you can just tell they'd rather you not, or you just don't feel like they really care about what you do or not. I think that's so huge. You know, those are very, very important. I love the call. I love what you all are talking about, and I'm going to click off. Thank you so much for listening.
No, but you know, I want to just say these are those things at AAA, Najma. These would be in your if you were writing a true love recipe. What I'm hearing you say that this would be in your true love recipe.
1,000%, yes.
Alhamdulillah. And while we got you on, you know, we just went to B, the first B in the True Love Recipe. This is my personal True Love Recipe. Basic, just basic things. They don't have to be big. They can be basic things, because the basic things that what you just heard Karan and myself say, these could be basic things, and these basic things can happen on a daily basis. They don't have to cost a lot of money. Sometimes people, you know, they measure love by how much you spend on them. But, you know, from an Islamic perspective, one of the things the Quran said that's very, very important is in Dr. Gary Chapman's book, in terms of the five universal love languages. It's just words of affirmation. This gets back to appreciation, back to the triple A. And what you'll find in my true love recipe, there are some overlapping other qualities, because to be appreciative is actually verbalizing it, you know, a verbalization, a realization, appreciation of it, but actually letting your mate know that I see what it is that is in you, and I don't have any problem in terms of giving words of affirmation. You know, oftentimes relationships that have more words of defamation that cause a detriment to the relationship and cause the relationships to actually fail. But you want to have words of affirmation. I always say, don't lie. Never lie to each other. But words of affirmation, I think we need to do a lot more of that. And I think that this is something basic. What Karan was saying, this is something that is basic. We shouldn't overlook the opportunity to give words of affirmation. That's a basic thing. It don't cost you anything. It's just acknowledgement of what it is that you see. And then this becomes an inspiration, a motivation for your mate, that true love that you're looking and seeking, to even want to do more okay. than what they're doing. So I'll stop there, but I just wanted to bring that, that B1 is basic things. They don't have to be big things. If you can do big things, alhamdulillah. But if you can only do basic things and you do it regularly, that's a big alhamdulillah too.
And big is comparative. You know, I think when you pay attention to each other, you get to know your likes and dislikes. And sometimes just walking up to your spouse and just maybe touch their hand or touch the man on the shoulder or whatever, not the same
mm-hmm.
thing. That those little small things, I think,
add
a lot. So if anybody can buy things, you don't take much to buy stuff, just money. But when you start talking about the other things that don't cost money, I think those are lacking in a lot of relationships, and I think you ought to encourage me to put it back in there. And I just say to that, alhamdulillah.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. So you just rang the bell again, because that was one of the five of the universal love language, which is physical touch. Physical touch. Mm-hmm. And that's so very, very important. That's a means of expressing love, and that is a love language for many in terms of physical touch. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much, Najah, for calling and continue to listen, and something else come to you. You know, all you got to do is press 1 and come back into the queue. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. All right, let's go to 478-672. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where your mic is open, and you are on the air.
Hajjalala, Fort Valley, Georgia.
My sister. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum salam, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I caught the end of it, but you were mentioning something about cutting up fruit.
Oh, yeah. You know something that's basic. Just say there was a man that really didn't have much in terms of cooking skills. I'm just painting a scenario. And we're talking about in terms of true love, and we're doing it from A to Z. So B1, in my true love recipe, would be doing something basic. Just basic, nothing big. He can cook a big meal because he don't have the skills, and if he did try it, you might not want to eat it. I'm just using that. And you have a hard time trying to explain to him, you know, okay, honey, thank you very much, and you wait till he leaves and you try to get rid of it, you know. But we're talking about something that you don't have to cook. That's basic. But he being thoughtful and maybe going to the market, maybe going to the produce section, and he knows you love watermelon. He knows you love cantaloupe. He knows you love honeydew. He knows you love fresh pineapple. And he goes and purchases it, and then maybe said that Friday night or early in the morning, he gets up and he goes and he cuts it up and make a real nice fruit melody, a melon melody, if you will. And he knows your favorite tea that you like to drink. And he just brings it to you, maybe serve you in bed or just call you down to the breakfast table. And he did this. It didn't cost him a lot of money, but he was very thoughtful because, as Sister Nana just say, you know, he was just attentive. That being a part of the quality of characteristic, he knows that just in terms of paying attention to what you like. And he did that. It's something he could do. That wasn't a big thing. It was a basic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we was talking about in that regard.
Okay. Well, you sure sound like you're talking about my husband. Because he does that. Yes, indeed, he does that. He knows I like those same items you just mentioned. He knows I like them. And he gets plenty for me. Alhamdulillah. I don't even have to ask him to get any of that.
So would that be in your true love recipe? If you was writing your true love recipe, would that be in a basic thing? They don't have to be big things, but just basic things, very thoughtful, but basic.
Oh, yes. He does a lot of basic things, but he also does a lot of big things.
Okay.
And some of them come, some of them come so unexpectedly. I'm like, whoa, you know. And I'm saying to myself, oh my, what did I do?
Alhamdulillah.
Oh my goodness, he comes through every time. He's beautiful. He's beautiful.
Allah,
Allah gave you a good husband, but I asked Allah for a good husband, you know.
And obviously, I got to say, you know, when we talk about the law of reciprocity, that you are a good wife to him, too. See, so, we want the radio listening audience to know, you understand, that the law of reciprocity, being a good host, love relationship, true love relationship, that if he was on, he'd be saying the same thing about you. That's the way it goes, you know. As Imam Muhammad used to say, that's the way it goes. That's the way it's supposed
to
go, you know.
That's the way it goes. That's right. That's right. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. But thank you so much for sharing that with us, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
These things may seem, and oftentimes in true love, these things are overlooked. They're just overlooked, looked over. You know, but when we start talking about true love, we'll find that it's more of an action word. You know, it's good to say you love somebody, but when you really can show it, oh, there's no doubt that you understand what real love is. As they say, real love is true love.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And if you love Allah, if Allah will guide you. Allah will give you the guidance. This is what we ask for in our Fatiha. You know, I keep referring back to the Quran. I can't help it, and I don't apologize for that.
That's all right.
Because that should be the foundation for all of us. We're asking, you know, in the Quran, you know, and our Fatiha makes it the most often repeated dua. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. We're asking Allah to guide us on the straight path in every aspect of human life.
Yeah.
This is how we should even relate to each other. I mean, the original nature calls for love, want to give love, and want to be love. But we need God's guidance in that regard. So Allah gives us. Alhamdulillah, that's the foundation. So if we love Allah, and Allah doesn't need anything for us, you know. I've heard Christian women say that they married to God. No, you can't be married to God. I don't laugh, but I understand what they're saying. You know, I can help them with understanding. You want to be married to God's word, His will, and His way. You want to be relating to that. You want to be in conformity with that. You want to be adhering to that. And when you do that, now you'll be able to express the true love that God wants us to express in all relationships. You can really express true love. I hope that makes some sense to you.
It does. It does.
But you can't do it without God's guidance in that. He puts it in the fitra, in the original nature, but he gives the revelation for the guidance for that. So you won't be loving foolishly, you know. You know. There used to be an old song, I think it was by Martha and the Vandellas, you know, love, 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 make me do foolish things. You know, you don't want to. You know,
right.
Laugh, but you don't want to love foolishly.
Right.
You want
right.
to love truly, genuinely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways.
It goes both ways. No, it ain't one-sided. That's why, you know, what you were saying in regards to your husband, and I'm quite sure your husband was on, he would be saying that he's experiencing true love, too, in terms of those basic things that you do for him. You see? One aspect of true love. But these I'm calling it a true love recipe because the ingredients, they're actually qualities and characteristics that are often overlooked and looked over. And sometimes we may have or adopted unconsciously Western society's definition of what love is. But we may be getting it from the music. And we know today's music is very corrupt, you know, in how they define what love is.
Absolutely.
You see, so we have to get the right information and what true love is. And once we get it, not only ingest it, take it in, but we have to digest it, understand it, and then we have to implement that in our relationships. Mm-hmm. That's very important, those three things. So thank you so much, my sister, for calling in. Keep on listening. And something else hit resonate, you can press 1 and come back.
Alhamdulillah. All right, so that's it for those who pressed 1. They just wanted us to know they are listening and they are available.
Alhamdulillah. Those basic, the basic things kind of touched
basic
a little bit.
Thing. Yes.
Correct. So both our sisters say that would be in their true love recipe, and most definitely. Boundaries, I think, is B2.
Mm-hmm.
I may be off.
Yeah.
Yeah, boundaries. Grand boundaries, you know, I think that when you have true love, you need to have some boundaries. Okay, so once again, we go to the Quran in terms of Allah saying to us that we shouldn't transgress boundaries, you know, so if he tells us that we shouldn't transgress boundaries, to withstand the reason and taking it to his logical conclusion, that we have boundaries that, and remember, these are ingredients that are designed. They are natural. They are organic. The preservatives are natural to preserve, to sustain, and maintain true love. So how would a relationship look if we transgress boundaries? I'm going to give an example here that I know that many of us are familiar with as we read the Quran from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas during the month of Ramadan. One of the things that Allah says in the Quran that we should not call or refer to each other by offensive nicknames. I'm just giving that as example, is offensive nicknames. So in this instructing sign, and that's what ayats are, Imam Muhammad gave us in terms of ayats being verses, but they're more than verses, they're signs. They're more than signs, they're instructing signs. It is a message. This is a boundary that Allah has set that we should not do. And oftentimes in terms of relationships, one gets mad, gets upset, and they transgress boundaries. And if you want to maintain and sustain true love, you have to stay within the boundaries that Allah has set the Quran in terms of how we are to relate to each other. And also in terms of being kind. And Allah has said the best of you. And he said it for men in particular, in regards to their wife, in terms of their family, in terms of community. And this is applicable for all of us. And if we understand it, these will help us to be this revelation, and also the authentic Sahih Hadith of the Prophet. It gives us guidelines. And when Allah is instructing us, these are boundaries that Allah is setting up in the Quran for us in terms of how we are to relate. And this is why we have to first establish that right relationship with Allah. And we said it earlier, and I'll say it again. It is the relationship of servant to master. And we the servant. And the best relationship we have with Allah is being an obedient servant. So establishing these boundaries and adhering to them in the sacred institution of marriage, because the Prophet has said that marriage is one half of the deen, one half of our way of life, and then let them be conscious, regardful of Allah in the other half. So this becomes the mate for the wholeness of the deen, not just experiencing saying I'm one in terms of taqwa. I'm God conscious, but not consciously regardful of God's word, will, and way, because it has to be realized in the sacred institution of marriage, which helps to produce the other sacred institution, which is family life. Quran, would this be a part of your true love recipe in terms of boundaries? And if not, how would that really express true love if there's no boundaries? We can say and do whatever. It's not taken to God's guidance in terms of what he says is not permissible. Correct?
And this one I think is a very interesting one, because there may be some who would, well, I should have the freedom to do and say and be whatever I want with my mate. You know, I should have that freedom. But
okay.
Really, when we look at what Allah has said to us in Quran, and I want to go to two different things. One,
okay,
is he talks us in Surah 55 about the sweet water and the salty water. And he has put a barrier between the two so that they don't mix.
That's
and
right.
So if we understand that, then we understand, okay, boundaries can be a good thing too. Because when you think about a boundary, you think about that perspective that that person may have. You know, some people think I can be right up under my mate all the time. But really, the best of relationships are those where you have some time away from each other. That's a part of the boundaries that you set. Let's spend some time away, so that you can also develop your individual thinking and bring it back to merge it with your mate and groom it and grow it. So I think that's important. When we look at boundaries, help us to understand and appreciate behavior that is acceptable and tolerable. It helps us to appreciate things that we love about our mate, because we have time away from them, we can come back to them. And the other example that I thought about when I started thinking about boundaries, and yes, dear audience, we love going back to the Quran because it is our guidebook.
That's right.
I thought about Adam and his wife, Hua. Allah told him, do not approach this tree.
Mm-hmm.
He set a boundary for them. Don't go near this tree. And they disobeyed Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And they went near the tree. And when they went near the tree, it exposed them.
Mm-hmm.
And in that exposure, then, they had to come back to find their balance. And that's what happens when we don't have boundaries. I love that balance, yes. When we don't have boundaries.
You know, you said
yes.
You inadvertently, maybe consciously, just gave the next of the ingredients recipe. Go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, so we have to have boundaries in order to get back to the balance that we need in the relationship. So sometimes when you find relationships going off, it is because they may not have had that balance set due to the boundary. So, you know, for some, and I know people will be like, no, I don't believe in that. I should be able to go in their phone. I should be able to, you know, these are boundaries that we can set. And our other couple, Brother Lawrence and his wife, Sister Rakaya, talked about that also, that boundary that they needed to have in order to be able to have. There are some things I don't want to know all of his business, and so I don't mind walking away and allowing him that space, as she said. And it's also making me think about Sister Karima and Imam Khalil, when they talked about the boundary that they need for them to be able to interact with their family that maybe not, you know, their direct family, but to for them to be with their children, because they are coming into a blended family. So it's important to have those boundaries too. So I think boundaries are very important in a good, true love, loving relationship. I want to say a loving relationship. You have the boundaries there.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Quran. I think if you use an attorney, you might win your case. In terms of, you know, boundaries, and it can look different. I think one of the things that you really was highlighting and spotlighting that in each relationship there can be unique boundaries, or they don't have to necessarily have a boundary that's there. The carte blanche, just freedom to do certain things and all. But I do think, and I think you said it, you know, we always want to go back to the Quran, and there is no compromising in terms of what it is that Allah says that we are not to do, that we should not do. So we say, Sadaqa Allah Uzeem, that what it is that Allah says, we say that it is the truth. There's no doubt that what it is that God has said to us. And so when God establishes certain things, and that's true, you would not. And I love the fact, Quran, that you went back to Adam and his mate, Hawa, you know, in the garden. And what was forbidden, that was the boundary. But also it needs to be said that everything else in the garden was permissible. You're free, you see. But this tree, and of course it has, we don't want our listeners to think that we're giving it, you know, oftentimes like maybe when it was in Christianity, to think that you're talking about just two people in the garden, half naked, and that this was actually a tree. Because it says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it lets you know that this is a metaphor. And in a nutshell, I won't go deep into it, but I'll tell you what Imam Muhammad has given to us that's very, very important. And when you think about the knowledge of what is good and what is evil, God is saying that's off limits. You know, so he's setting a boundary there. Don't even eat of it, but don't even go near it in terms of actually thinking that you can be the one to determine the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, Quran, I have to say this, and just in lieu of when we watch the news today, we see that there is an Adam that was deceived by Shaitan. And not only did they go near that in terms of transgressing the boundary, but they also ate of that tree in terms of them making a decision in terms of deciding what is good and what is evil. And Allah was saying in that command, don't transgress that boundary, because you're going to need guidance in that. You're going to need guidance in that. And two of the major components of the soul is the fujul and the taqwa. The fujul and the taqwa. The fujul being the rational nature, the taqwa being the moral nature. And actually, the shaitan made an appeal to the rational nature. And that's when the divorce or the separation came from the moral nature, which should always accompany the rational nature, a rational intelligence. It appealed to that. There's a whole lot more to be said in regards to that, but we're still seeing that Adam being deceived in terms of transgressing boundaries and still thinking, you understand, covering himself up with the leaves after being exposed with more rationalization, more validation, justification for making these decisions that actually don't have a moral goodness in their decision making. So Allah is the best knower. And if Allah gives a command and saying, don't do that, this is the boundary I'm setting, then we can't and we shouldn't transgress that boundary because the detriment is going to come to us, you see. And there's more to be said in regards to it, but I'm glad you used that because actually in the true love recipe, there would need to be, because if it was a free-for-all, any and everything goes. And we start talking about, you know, we've got conscious, and you're looking for a God-conscious person, so you know that both should be adhering to God's word, conforming to God's will, and striving to the best of their ability to live the sacred institution of marriage life, true love with God's guidance. And if we do that, then that fourth W, then it can and will work. If we don't do that, then we could have some serious problems. So
absolutely.
I want to just say that to our radio listeners. Now we want to go to our radio listeners because they have special guests, Karen. Would this be, this is a thought-provoking one, would this be in your true love recipe? Please press 1, let us know. Boundaries, you know, and you don't have to say anything specifically what your boundaries would actually be, but I would just express it like this. Would it be in your true love recipe that the boundaries that Almighty God has set? Would that be in your true love recipe? And if not, how would your true love, your love life be if it wasn't in there? Press 1 if you would like to share or if what we said resonates with you in terms of boundaries being an ingredient in the true love recipe. Any
All
takers?
Right, let's go to our listening audience. Absolutely. Let's go to 267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open and you are on the air.
I know who that is.
Yes.
You know, I was really, really relaxing. Hi, this is Rahiba from Philadelphia.
I'm
the
lady of love. We're talking about love tonight, Rahiba. We're talking about true love.
You know how Mark said just like a survey, he do a survey to see how many people agree. That's what I call myself doing, but y'all got me on. But alhamdulillah. I was looking at the appreciation and affection at first, and that was pretty powerful. But then I had added, for some reason, apologies. Knowing how to apologize.
You don't have to ring a bell on that. See, that's what I'm talking about.
I love it.
That's in her true love recipe. Being apologetic.
You know, we take for granted that some people really know how to do that, and that's not true. You know, some cultures, it could be, you know, you're from West Indies or you're from other places, and they just don't do it. They don't apologize. They just go beyond the boundaries, and they don't realize that they went and transgressed. They don't even realize they transgressed. Until the mate says, listen, you know, you need to really look at that and apologize.
I love it.
You need to pay attention to what happened, and apology needs to be made. And a lot of times if you approach them in the right way, they will say, oh, yeah, I do apologize, you know. And so I think we can't resist asking for it sometime, because you might take for granted that that person knows they should apologize because they have offended you and hurt your feelings to the point. And I think it's so important not to hold on. If your mate, your spouse hurts your feelings, And you just hold on to it. Oh, well, I'm not going to say nothing. They know they hurt my feelings. How do you know they hurt your feelings? Like, you need to tell them you hurt, you know, like, you hurt my feelings and my heart is really bleeding, you know, like, and so you need to be expressive. I think that's so important, communication. Just like you say, the communication style, to communicate your feelings and affection to your mate so they can appreciate, learn to appreciate where you're coming from.
Yes.
And we
got
to teach, you know, this old saying is you have to teach people how to treat you. You do. Especially in the beginning of the relationship, you cannot take for granted that person knows how to treat you because they don't know you like that. So you have to be open enough to understand that I have a new life in my life that needs to, we need to learn each other. I need to learn what ticks him off. He needs to learn what might tick me off. He might need to know and understand what hurts me. I need to understand what hurts him. And we just need to be able to listen to each other. And so then that's when you start falling more and more in love, when you know that that person is understanding you. It's not all about you buying me a car, you fixing up the house the way I want it. It's deeper than that. It's do you understand that you need to help me.
Still going off, Raheema, means that that's not to tell you to stop. You actually have hit on one of the natural, organic ingredients in the true love recipe when we get to you understanding. So that's just telling you.
Yes.
And she said to listen.
Yep.
So, but it goes.
And she said, listen. Listen is in L. So that's why you heard the bell when you said listen. So I'm just only just acknowledging that when you hear the bell.
What you've always taught us for years. It says, be into me, you see. Like,
Intimacy,
yeah. Like, be into me. Like, just like y'all said earlier, the sister said, put down the phone, the cell phone. When I'm talking, I need my man to look in my eyes, and I need to look in his eyes. I don't need you to be looking at the phone when I'm talking. You know, really, that is so valuable.
Mark is good.
No, I'm enjoying it. These are invited guests. I mean, the radio listeners, we want to hear from you. In terms of that, and you're the first one to actually give an addendum to AAA, being apologetic, that's in her true love recipe.
I love that.
To ask radio listening audience, would that be in your true love recipe? how would your true love recipe look if not being apologetic wasn't in it?
I'm gonna be quiet. But you know, one thing that's important is when you're dealing with serious issues that affect your relationship, you don't need to be driving. You don't need to be on the computer.
You don't need to be talking.
You need to sit down at the Salat, as I always say, and Allah and the angels are present. And lay it on the line.
She used Salat here, dear radio listening audience, but I made it universal. But prayer, that's the same thing in terms of pray. So when we get to P, that is a key ingredient in the true love recipe. So that's why you heard the bell go off.
So we'll talk some more, and I'll be on next Tuesday, but. You know, it's just so much to this marriage thing.
We love you too, Raheema.
Thank you so much for coming on. Boy, I tell you, press one as you go out, Raheema. You know, Karan, that was groundbreaking there.
That was. But that's what we expect of Raheema.
Alhamdulillah.
She always fights.
Alhamdulillah. Anybody else? Boy. Karen, you're a great pronosticator, Karen. You said just give them a little time. Let them listen a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think sometimes our listening audience, they come to the Learning Lab to soak it all in, let it wash through, and then they're ready to share. And what I like about them sharing is that the sharing is not regurgitation. It is truly sharing the inspiration that Allah has put in them. And so we have to sometimes give them time to let it marinate before it is produced. So we don't mind being patient with you, dear listening audience.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Karanda, you know, we got another B here that we want to talk about, very important, which is balance. You know, Karan, you know, when we look at that, I'd like to use a narration, if you will, that's a popular narration in many that have been in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We've heard this narration, I don't know how many times many of the imams use it, in terms of looking at this man, the Sahabas, the companions of the Prophet. And, you know, and of course, you know, we want to be the best servant that we possibly can to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as the report goes, it was this man at that time who stayed in the Musalla, and he prayed and he dhikred all day long, all afternoon, all evening. He stayed there and he didn't do anything but just that only. And they brought it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam attention in terms of how good he was, how impressed they were of him. And the Prophet Muhammad, he asked them one question to bring them back down to earth. He says, "Who takes care of him?" And a resounding, "We do. We do." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Then you are better than he is." Now you might say, "Okay, so Brother Shaheed, what this got to do with balance? What this got to do with balance?" From an Islamic perspective, it has a lot to do with balance. Because whereas that he was doing some good things, he was unbalanced. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the sacred institution of marriage is one half of your deen. But we need to equate that with social responsibility. We are spiritual beings and we are social beings. So we can't just be overly expressive of one and forget or neglect the other. The balance is that in being consciously aware and regardful that we have social needs, and then once again looking at what Allah has said in regards to the man and his role, al-rajul kanamuna anisa, you see, that we are supposed to be the legs of support for the women. And it's also in terms of looking not only in terms of just the female woman, and of course your wife, in terms of being the kanamun, being the maintainer, the protector, and all, but it goes even outside of that in terms of neighborhood unity life, just a society in general. But if, in fact, that you're just being like the Gnostics and other religions who, as Imam Muhammad have said, they became the Darlene. We've heard that. We say that almost 17 times a day. and reciting our five prayers. And so we want to make a connection here. The Darlene, as Imam Muhammad said, they have good intentions. Their intention is good. Their motivation is good. Their desire is good to want to please God, but they were misled. They misread and they misled and thought they would be closer to God by just addressing the spiritual only, but abrogating the social responsibility, not wanting to marry, not wanting to have sex, and not produce a family life, and not be involved in social interaction. That is not Al-Islam. This is very, very important. What I'm saying to you, dear believers, this is the balance. So what the Prophet Muhammad was saying, and all the things that we think is important, but the social responsibility, the two sacred institutions that Allah established, and Quran and I, we say it all the time here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, what Allah established after he created the human being from water, then he says that he established the relationship of lineage and marriage. Lineage first, because we have to be birthed. We come into a family line down through the ages. And the preservation, the maintenance, the sustaining of that family life, that sacred institution, is supposed to come through the sacred institution of marriage. Now, I know we got a lot of things going on today. We won't get into that. But just think that how Allah has established that, and those persons that, for whatever reason, have come up with different things that's not in accordance with God's word, will, and way, then they won't have the productive life, nor do they have the balanced life. And Allah finishes that by saying, and know that Allah has power or influence over all things, which meaning he's already put into our nature. So this is the balance. Balance in terms of true love, because if you had an unbalanced person that did things to the extreme, then all these other things that we've talked about, and we just only in terms of be free here, all those things, talking about attentive, you wouldn't have any time to give attention. You're talking about appreciation, you wouldn't have time to show appreciation or words of affirmation, because you're consumed in terms of one aspect, as the Gnostics. In terms of affection, you wouldn't have time for that. In terms of basic things, because the Prophet asked them, who takes care of you? Who takes care of him? Excuse me, who takes care of him? We do. You wouldn't have time to do that. Boundaries? Well, you're transgressing boundaries because Allah is giving us instructions for the construction of human life. Oh, I could say a whole lot more, Quran. I feel like I'm giving a kibbutz here. I will stop. How would that look, Quran, when we talk about being balanced? Would that be in your true love recipe? And radio listeners, would it be in your true love recipe? Please press 1 if you would.
Yes. It would definitely be in mind, and while they're deciding if they're going to do it, because they haven't done it yet, I just want to say, you know, when you were talking, it made me think about my childhood when I was in MGT class. I was a little girl in MGT class, and I remember the lesson was you might love that brother, but if you don't let him go out and work, y'all ain't going to have no food. And that stuck with me. It's like, that's balance.
You can't live on love. You heard that before. You can't live on what they call love at that time. You can't live on love.
No. You got to have the balance. And that's what it made me think about. You have to have the balance. And in that balance, you have that affection, yes, and you also have that drive to go out and provide, go out and do. So, you know, that's a part of the balance. And so the balance has to come with the individuals and with the relationship. Both of those are balanced.
That's right.
You know, think about people who are off balance. They're not balanced. Then we call them crazy. We call them crazy, right? So it's like, they're a little off. And so balance brings a sanity.
Mm-hmm.
It brings the goodness into the relationship. And guess what? Again, just like Allah puts affection in the relationship, and he gives us the opportunity to appreciate, he also is the one who brings the balance. So, and he tells us that in his book. He says, let me find one. He says, observe the weight with equity and do not make the balance. So we have to make sure that we're keeping the balance there. And he says, and give full measure when you measure and weigh with a balance that is straight, that is good, advantageous, and better in the end. All of that, that's the balance that Allah is telling us. And he talks about balance several times in the Quran.
Yes.
And the word that he uses is mizan for balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's another word he uses, but I know definitely he uses the word mizan to show this balance that we have to have in our dealings with one another. So balance is very important to life itself and is definitely important for the true love recipe.
Alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belong to Allah. Very well said. You know, Quran, you hit on a lot of points, and you made me think as you were speaking in terms of when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, Allah is the only one that is independent. Please, radio listener, audience, listen very careful. Allah has created us in pairs. He created us to be interdependent. That was a homework assignment some weeks back. I don't know how many actually did that, but if you didn't, look up the word interdependent. That's not a word you hear oftentimes. We hear independent and we hear dependent. And we hear sometimes even Muslims, I want to be independent. Okay, I know and understand what you're saying and what you mean, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. So whatever it is that we do in terms of honoring our responsibility and accountability, we have to understand that Allah has a will and a purpose. There's a will and a purpose for our creation. So we have to be in touch with what God's will is and what his purpose is for us as his human creation, and often referred to in the biblical scripture as the crown of creation, meaning the highest of creation and what it is he's given to us. So it's very important that we have a balance. Allah doesn't need us to pray all day. He doesn't. So there are prescribed prayers. It's called hard prayers. They're obligatory prayers. But if we did that all day, just think, if we are balanced, then we wouldn't really have time to serve Allah because he's independent. The prayers are for us. The prayers are for human beings. You understand, to be always maintain conscious regardful of our Lord and Creator, and also to be thankful and grateful, you know. And this is throughout the day that helps bring the balance, but it helps to bring us to the consciousness of social responsibility. So if we don't perform that, then we're unbalanced. That's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually saying. You are better than he. Why? Because you make your prayers, you dicker, you think and you remember Allah much, but you also remember that you have a social responsibility to take care of yourself, to take care of your family, and really to take care of community, and particularly those type of persons that are unbalanced. Then when the Prophet asked them, who takes care of him? We do. You're better than him. So in society, you see in society, they wind up taking care of people who are unbalanced. And for this way of life or religion, it's imperative that we remain balanced. Very, very important, and so we're right? Getting close to the end here. I don't know. Yeah, we're getting close to the end
yeah,
here.
Yes.
Yes, we're right at the top of the hour. And, Karan, I have enjoyed it immensely. And I want to say a special thanks go to our radio listening audience tonight. They were really, really very interactive tonight as our special guest and all tonight. In lieu of the fact that the invited guest was not able to make it, we'll look at next week. But I think this review was really good, Karan, and I want to say kudos to our radio listening audience and always for your insight and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday and been sharing for a long time. And it is always, I feel so thankful and grateful for having you partner with me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday. Karan, what would you like to leave the radio listening audience and how can they get in touch with us or what?
Absolutely, yes. I want to say it is reciprocated. I am grateful that Allah gives us this space to do this great work, alhamdulillah. So to you, I thank you for the work that you do. To our listening audience, thank you for your patience and for growing with us. Thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you've benefited from our learning lab, and if you did, we ask you to tell a friend. Be right back next Thursday, same time, same place. We ask you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. We ask you to stay connected with us through our email. If you have questions, comments, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. We are so grateful for you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Mark, back to you.
Alhamdulillah, you know, and the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And so we'll see what next week looks like and all. If not, we will continue in terms of the review until we get up to E4. And of course, if not, inshallah, we'll be able to. We won't give a homework assignment. We just ask you to go back and just review what it is that we've given thus far, and hopefully that allow it to marinate in your mind in terms of true love recipe. And hopefully we'll get another caller like Rahima there in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, they like to say up there in Philly, even though they didn't win the World Series championship last year. But anyway, we invite you to add to the true love recipe, what would be in your true love recipe. One is that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow is Salatul Juma Day, Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. Each and every Friday starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, at 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the longest-running production on IWDM Radio, once again with the very distinguished esteemed email, Mikhail Sahir. Words make people. Every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Please tune in. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, a very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a show called ABC, like 1, 2, 3, but it's out of Islam-based conversation. And the more people that listen in and tune in, they can have this conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha, and it is out of Islam-based. It happens each and every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning special guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is when you really need a pen and plenty of paper, a lot of terminology in terms of the science of your health and you. That happens each and every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. That happens each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We have a great book that we're using as one of our resources, which is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, a practical application for various ages. So please tune in for that. Following that, every Wednesday is the MGM Roundtable, and that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shahid. And I always have very interesting, intriguing, very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community is, yes, today we took on the importance of father and fatherhood. So there'll be more conversations and topics like that that starts each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed hosts, Karan Shakir and Mark Shahid. That's each and every Thursday. We'll be on the True Love Recipe for quite some time, and we do welcome any other requests that you may have, and like bring it to the lab at gmail.com. You can send in suggestions. And if you know couples that you would like to see on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in terms of their narrative, please bring it to the lab at gmail.com. Karan and I would love to invite them. So we want you to stay tuned, and please don't forget the Muslim Journal as the lifeblood of our community. So until next time, you know this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.